You ready to get started?
Yeah, let's do it. What are you talking? I don't even know. You didn't tell me what you were doing today, so I'm.
Well, let me do the intro and I'll tell you.
Okay.
Hi, and welcome to Wild Milk Podcast. We're your host. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Susan.
Every Monday, we talk about true crime, conspiracies, paranormal phenomena, and everything weird or unexplained. Okay, so I decided I'm going to talk about cryptids in every state.
Yay!
But it's a lot, so I'm going to spread it out over a few different episodes. So
it is a lot.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it because I didn't know Alabama had a cryptid, but it does.
I feel like Alabama should have several cryptids.
Mythological creature. I guess that's what a cryptid is. Yeah.
I just feel like Alabama should have a bunch. I don't know why.
So each state has a few, but these are just like the official ones or like the ones that people talk about the most. Okay. So this week I'm going to do Alabama, Alaska, and Arizona. I'm going to go in like alphabetical order.
That's very Capricorn of you.
It's very Capricorn. Very Virgo rising of me. Okay, so the Alabama White Thing is what this is called. And it's not T-H-I-N-G. It's T-H-A-N-G.
Well, yeah, because it's in Alabama.
So you got it. I'm going to try and do my best. Alabama White Thing. Okay, so the first sighting was in the 40s. And it wanders in this like triangle. I wish I had a map of Alabama, but you know what Alabama looks like.
And guys, if you don't, again, Google is free.
Google is free. We're not doing that for you. It's like, so Jefferson County, which is where I am, is right in the middle. So this triangle goes, like Jefferson County up north to another county and then over towards the east and then back down to Jefferson.
Okay.
And that's mainly where it's at. Specifically in the areas of Happy Hollow, Walnut Grove, Moody's Chapel, and the Wheeler Wildlife Refuge. And the cool thing about the Wheeler Wildlife Refuge, which makes me think like, yeah, it's possible that this thing is living out there and hasn't been discovered because it's 35,000 acres. It's just owned by the government. Like,
wow.
It's got a base on it.
And are we talking like 35,000 acres of, like, those big-ass longleaf pines?
What is longleaf pine?
They're the,
Oh, like a tree?
Yeah. They're, like, the really, really tall pines that Alabama has.
So supposedly, I mean,
they have that in, like, the southern part of Alabama, but I don't know.
I'm sure we have it here. I just don't know names of trees. I don't know.
They're like very straight up and down. Like they look like the Sleeping Beauty, like the forests in Sleeping Beauty, how everything's really linear. That's kind of what they look like.
Wait, hold on. Now I have to look it up. I don't want to buy it on Amazon. What the fuck? Oh, yeah. We have those here.
Yeah. I kind of thought so.
Fucking right outside my window.
Hey, now you know what it's called.
I just called it a tree. I mean, I do know what a birch tree is because I'm allergic to birch trees.
Very random.
So random. And dust mites. The fuck?
Less random. I think everybody's allergic to dust mites.
Yeah. Okay, so supposedly this wildlife refuge from the like small little bit that I read about it was created for birds to migrate to.
Okay.
Or not just birds, really just animals that migrate, which I guess is really only birds. I don't know much about animals. But anyway, it's just a refuge for animals. And it's on the Tennessee border. There's a huge possibility.
Now all I can think about is like squirrels packing up their little squirrel suitcases.
I don't know. I think it's just for birds. There was a sign.
I'm looking it up right now because just because I'm curious.
Okay, so this Alabama White Thing is supposedly 7 to 8 feet tall. Excuse me. with glowing red eyes, and it is completely white like the abominable snowman. Like the abominable. Nope.
Abominable snowman.
The Yeti. That's what I'm trying to think of.
Which aren't actually white.
Oh, they're not? What color is a Yeti? Like cream?
Apparently they're not. They're like, they just look like Bigfoot. It's just because of cartoons that everybody thinks they're white.
That's so crazy. I had always thought they were white. Because it snows.
I was really disappointed because I'm like, oh, I really wanted a Bigfoot with like a very specific Arctic like evolutionary trait.
Exactly what I wanted. Now I'm
okay. This wildlife refuge, looking at the pictures, this looks exactly like what I was expecting it to look like. And there could be anything in there, just including a load of birds, which is terrifying in and of itself.
Birds are a little scary.
Birds creep me out, man.
Yeah, I feel like anything could live there. And I mean, I'm sure someone patrols it, like Park Service people patrol it, but maybe not. I mean, it's not like it's...
I mean, parts of it, but if it's truly a wildlife preserve, then, I mean, it's going to go mostly, it's just going to be 100% natural, so...
There's no telling. Where was I?
It's white with glowing eyes and it's 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Completely white. So the thing is, in different parts of Alabama, people have different tales of what it looks like. Some people describe it as what I just said, 7 to 8 feet tall, glowing red eyes, completely white. Some people say it's like a 7 foot tall kangaroo, like a kangaroo shape where it like walks on 2 feet, but then it could quickly like hop away. Which to me is like, it's a crane. They're seeing a crane. Because, cranes are huge.
Cranes are way bigger. That whole thing about like animals that are bigger or smaller than what you imagine they are. Cranes are way bigger than you think.
Yeah, cranes are huge. I had a hot dog stolen from me when we went to the beach when I was little. And I have PTSD from that probably.
Birds, I was chased by geese. Because I had these, like, little things on my shoes. I don't even know how old I was. Like, elementary school for sure. I had some kind of, like, little cutesy-ass thing on my shoes that the geese were all obsessed with. And they chased me. And I'm just telling you, I do not trust birds.
So, yeah, when I think of, when you're describing it as a kangaroo, I'm thinking of a crane. But cranes are not 7 feet tall. But they also say
they're not 7 feet tall, but they are, they're way bigger than you think, than you would expect. Them to be.
Yeah. And here's how I look at when people have these like sightings without video or picture proof. What I'm thinking is if I see something that I'm not used to seeing, I'm going to fucking run. And I'm not going to remember how tall it is. I'm not going to remember specific like details. I'm not good with height anyway.
Well, and your brain fills in the gaps, right?
Yeah.
Like, when you're trying to recall it, if there's information you didn't get, your brain's going to try to fill that in.
Yeah.
With something you know. But there is some video of this thing, right? I feel like I've seen video of this thing
there
before.
There is. There's one really well-known video, and I'm not going to play it because it has no sounds, but I will link it. I actually have it right here to link. Also, the Spectral Wolfpack Paranormal, which I think is based in Alabama, they have a really good video speaking to actual witnesses who have seen it. There's like some young people and there's an older guy who's very deep Alabama, who's very hard to understand. Like he has not been out at a holler in a long time.
So mostly just vowels, just the occasional consonant.
Yeah. Around. And you're kind of like, okay, I caught that. All right. But anyway, he has good interviews with actual witnesses. So another thing that has me kind of skeptical, and I love cryptids and I do think some cryptids are like real, but I'm going to go into this as like a skeptic because, you know, why not? So a lot of people say that this Alabama white thing is known for its eerie screech that sounds like a woman's cry. And to me, what is it?
Cougars, wildcats.
Yeah. Humans.
They all sound like that.
That's what I think of. And so I kind of like dug a little bit because I want to know what's in the area I live in. And if we have like cougars and wildcats.
You want to make sure you're not going to be accidentally eaten by something completely non-cryptid.
Exactly. But actually the cougars and I think it's just the cougars in this area are extinct. like this specific area of cougars. Yeah. So it could be, there's another large area of land that's not super populated, and it's the Montesano State Park, which is also in Alabama. And that's just more ground that's not covered regularly where he could be staying. Mm-hmm. So in Huntsville, Alabama, because like I said, different regions of the state have different tales of what this Alabama white thing is. He supposedly lives in caves or drainage ditches, which is terrifying.
Yes. Particularly if you go into caves or drainage ditches.
We don't, though. We're Same. Smart.
Exactly.
We use these noggins. So, after I did all this research on the Alabama white thing, I watched YouTube videos, I read a fuck ton of articles. I saw that in 1915, there was a deadly train wreck. A circus train collided with a passenger train. Mm-hmm. 24 people did sadly pass away, but a ton of animals escaped. Like bears, lions, and they were not captured. And I'm thinking, granted, this was a long time ago, and you would have to have two, a male and a female of the same species get out and escape the train, but could there be just like
close enough that they can reproduce?
Yeah. Is there like a fucking polar bear family living in the deep woods of Alabama that we are mistaking for Alabama white thing? Like,
I genuinely hope so.
I mean, we just don't know.
I really want it to be like a polar bear lion hybrid situation. I realize intellectually it's impossible, but I just want that to be a thing.
Also, I don't even know if polar bears could survive in Alabama. Like, it gets real fucking hot here.
Yeah, but if you cross them with a lion, like lions super hot, polar bears super cold, in the middle they can totally live in Alabama in the woods. Fine.
So what you should take from this episode is the Alabama white thing is actually a polar bear lion hybrid.
Correct. No question. That's what's happening in Alabama right now.
So yeah, that's the Alabama white thing. I will link the video because I think it's cool. So the video is basically a guy in his, I think he's in his front yard or in his driveway.
Mm-hmm. And he this lives. This is the video I was thinking of.
He lives across from a really like huge field. I mean, it might be that refuge. I have no fucking idea. But at the very back of the field, like against the tree line, you just mm-hmm. see a white figure and you're like, okay, well, that's just a person dressed in all white. But when you see how tall he is compared to the tree line, and he's just walking really slow down the tree line, and then all of a sudden he just disappears into it. And that's really the only video, I think. There might be more, but I think that's the only one.
I think I've seen some other videos that I had big question marks. Like, I'm not convinced that that wasn't created instead of just captured.
Yeah. And I mean, there's like footprint videos of people finding footprints, but I just don't trust that. I want to see the actual thing.
It's hard to know. I mean, you know, I kind of take that on an even. Like, I'm not going to say that I don't believe it, but I'm also not just going to be like, oh, well, there's a footprint. That must be what it's from.
It has that to be the white thing.
Clearly is part polar bear, part lion.
But when I saw that train wreck happened, I'm like,
that is really interesting. And also, really sad.
And it's so sad. The saddest part, and I should have just stopped reading when I saw the animals died, but I kept reading. Yes. And I guess like the monkey portion of the train, they all escaped into a nearby tree. And so people went and shot them down out of the trees. And that's just really sad to me.
Jesus Christ, Alabama, get your shit together.
I mean, this was in 1915. So it's.
Please don't tell me that you think that if monkeys escaped into a tree in Alabama in 2021, that they're not going to be shot.
It will.
That will still happen. That is still going to be a thing. In fact, the great-grandchildren of the people who shot the original ones are definitely living on the same properties, and they will absolutely show up with Grandpappy's gun.
Oh, my God, Grandpappy. Oh, Grandpappy, rest in peace. Okay, I am going to butcher this next one. And also, is it Inuit? Is that how you say, like, the people of Alaska? Is it Inuit, or is it?
That's correct.
Let me just, I don't want to be insensitive.
My fruit snacks of the day, by the way, are Golden Fiesta Raisins, Chili Limon Pineapple.
What? That sounds so good. Those look really good. Where did you get those?
H-E-B.
We went to Publix today, and when you first, do you ever shop at Publix? Probably not.
We don't have Publix. We have H-E-B, but we don't have Publix.
Yeah, and we don't have, they're probably both really great.
Publix, as soon as you walk in, Publix and H-E-B are similar.
Yeah, just good stores. They had Flamin' Hot Dill Pickle Lays, and I said, you need to stop right now and get those, and they are fucking delicious. They're so good. And they're so, like, it's not, so Flamin' Hot is, like, hot, right? Like, it's hot as soon as you put it in your mouth. But, like, you put this in, and you taste the dill pickle chip, because dill pickle Lays are good. Have you had them?
Dill pickle anything is my jam.
Right. Dill pickle Lays are delicious. And you taste that, and then you get, like, a more smoky heat, and it stays in your throat, and it is so good.
That sounds delicious. I'm definitely finding those.
You need to find them. Anyway, so we're going to talk about Alaska now. So Alaska, their cryptid is called the Tizaruk. T-I-Z.
I've never heard of this one.
H-E-R-U-K. Well, let me just start by saying the Inuit people, which inhabit the Arctic regions like Greenland, Canada, and Alaska, this is their, like, tale. So they've been telling it for years. They're the ones that first saw it. It's described as a sea serpent, terrifying, anywhere from 7 to 15 feet in length. Okay.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. So it's got thick fur, crocodile or snake-like head, short horns, and a long tongue. So it's like a sea dragon.
It's a fluffy dragon? I'm sorry. Is this a luck dragon? Is this a never-ending story situation?
No, it's not.
Does it fly?
It doesn't fly. It's in the sea. It's a sea serpent.
What if it swims and flies?
It's got horns.
I'm so looking this up, by the way.
It goes stabby, stabby. Okay, so there are some inconsistencies, but I mean, this is going to be with, it was with the Alabama White thing. So some people say that the tail looks like a flipper, and some people say that the tail is like a regular fish tail. So there's those two inconsistencies.
Okay, this thing definitely looks like some kind of dragon.
Yeah, it does. And when it says, thick fur, I wonder if it means scales? I just, fur? I mean, I don't think
it's going to stay warm.
Well, yeah, it is in Alaska. So, okay, so in some versions of what people have had experiences with this cryptid, it can travel into shallow waters as low as 1 foot deep. So it kind of like can shrink itself to go into shallow waters.
Okay.
There have been a lot of sightings. There were two actual video sightings. One was in 2009, and I searched so hard, and I couldn't find that one. But I did find the one in 2016. So I watched it. I went in with an open mind, and I think, to me, it looks like either trash or ice that's floating. And then when I read more into it, the articles, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game says the video to them looks like it is ice that's caught on a rope that's perpetually moving with the tide, and it looks like a serpent.
I can see that. I mean,
yeah, I see that more. You should watch.
I mean,
the video.
Look. That said, like, regardless, there's so much in the ocean we absolutely don't know is there. Pretty much any time somebody's like, and it lives in the ocean, I'm like, okay.
Yep, it does.
I believe that.
I 100% believe that there's shit out there like this. Now, I don't know the videos that people claim are sightings. I did not see the one in 2009, so I don't know. But the one in 2016 definitely, to me, looks like ice. One thing about this cryptid is people claim because it can get into such shallow waters that it can eat people off of like piers and docks. And it has like in many of the Inuit tales, I guess, that's what people claim, that they are eaten off of docks and piers.
I mean, I know that there are pretty big sharks that can get into pretty shallow water.
And I don't know what's in Alaska.
Well, I mean, the ocean is vastly unexplored.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it like we have only really been able to access like 20% of the ocean?
Yeah, we,
so,
yeah.
Like I said, if something supposedly lives in the ocean, sure, why not? I mean, I think it's just as likely to be there as it is not to be. Yeah. But I mean, like, bull sharks are not exactly small sharks, mm-hmm. but they can come right up, like, I mean, right up into the shallows.
Yeah.
So, and people get bitten by bull sharks semi-regularly mm-hmm. in, like, knee-deep water. Like, that's not even uncommon. So, I mean, this is possibly bigger than a bull shark, but it's not totally unreasonable to think it could get into shallow water, because there are other things that are roughly the same size that absolutely can.
Yeah. All right. So that is Alaska's cryptid. And I'm not going to go super in depth on these. Like, I'll post the video links and I'll tell you about them. And like, but there's really not much, because we know
you.
Yeah. We know all the big, well-known cryptids, and there's a fuck ton on them, but the ones that are lesser known, there's just not a lot of information on them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are going to do Arizona, and this is the Mogollon Rim.
Okay,
so Arizona is the Mogollon Monster. So this is Arizona folklore, you know, tales passed on from generations to generation. So it's a creature said to dwell in central and eastern Arizona along the Mogollon Rim, which is beautiful. I had to look it up to see what that was, and it is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. And also, I could believe almost anything could be living in here, too.
Yeah, because it's just this vast, I mean,
and
wilderness.
It looks so dense.
Yeah.
That is so pretty.
It's beautiful. God, there's so many places that I want to visit.
Right.
Although if I wasn't scared to camp, like, I fucking love camping, but I'm just so terrified of being murdered. And I'm going to do a whole episode about this, but supposedly there's these like wilderness dwelling generations worth of families who are so deep in like the wilderness, and like, yeah, they're cannibals, and like, that's what some people say, like the missing 411 cases. That's what that is, which, fuck, like, it just gives me the chills.
I mean,
yeah, there's no telling. Anyway, so this cryptid, 7 foot tall, wild red eyes, long brownish red hair.
Red eyes.
I don't know.
Do you think it's because they tend to be seen by like flashlight or like headlights?
Oh, and
the reflections.
Mm-hmm. That's a possibility.
You know, different animals' eyes reflect different colors.
Yeah. Makes me wonder if all these things that people are supposedly seeing are some are part of the same like species, like,
right? Since they're all red.
Yeah. So anyway, long brownish red hair or black, with the exception of no hair on the chest, face, hands, and feet, which to me screams like primate.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Yeah. It also just sounds like a Bigfoot. Like, they're calling it.
Yeah, I was just about to say, is this a like regional name for Bigfoot, or is it something completely different?
I am assuming it's a regional name for Bigfoot, because this literally sounds just like Bigfoot. It does. If it wasn't for like the brownish red black hair, I would think something else, but that is the same kind of hair that Bigfoot supposedly has. So the footprints of this monster cryptid character are 22 inches, which is fucking huge.
That is huge. That's bigger than Bigfoot, right?
I don't know what Bigfoot's there's probably so many different footprints taken. I'm watching, so I got Discovery Plus.
Oh my God, I'm jealous. I kind of want it.
It is so good. But I'm
like, okay, I just, like, how many more things?
No, but this Discovery Plus is so different because Netflix is getting really into, like, series, like, yeah, fantasy, and I'm just not really into all that. I want, like, docuseries, and that's all Discovery Plus is. So I'm watching Bigfoot Expeditions right now, and I love it. Where was I? Okay, so also in numerous reports, this cryptid is said to have a blood-curdling scream that sounds like a woman in distress. And to me, like, I've never heard a cougar. I don't know what that sounds like. Have you ever heard one?
Not in real life. I've heard recordings of it, but yeah. It is startling enough, even in a video when you know that's what it is, mm-hmm, that if you heard it out in the middle of nowhere, it would be disturbing.
I wonder, I'm just going to look it up real quick. I'm going to have to cut so much out of this episode. Cougar cry.
I mean, I look at it like this. This is just going to be a long episode because last week we missed an episode because we had too much fun.
Too much fun. What? I'm listening to it.
Oh.
You can't hear that, can you?
No, but I can see the reaction. You need to go back through the video and take screenshots of your face.
Susan, this is terrifying.
I'm telling you. Can you imagine hearing that being out in the woods somewhere?
Dude.
You would be convinced that you could easily be convinced anything exists if you were out in the middle of the forest and heard that.
I have chills. That is terrifying. So that's what a cougar sounds like. That's it. That actually said mountain lion.
It's the same.
Yeah. So I'm going to go through three different sightings of this Arizona cryptid real quick. So the first one was in 1903, and a man, his last name, it doesn't have his first name, it just says I.W. Stevens. He described a creature seen near the Grand Canyon as having long white hair, a matted beard that reached to his knees. It wore no clothing, and upon its talon-like fingers were claws at least 2 inches long. He noted a coat of gray hair nearly covered his body, and then here and there just random spots of like dirty skin showing. He said it had the wildest scream with the most unearthly screech. And this was in 1903, but that's what he said. He told the paper, the Arizona Republican. And to me, the claws, I think of maybe like a bear standing up. Like, yeah, on its hind feet that had, yeah, just like spots missing from a fight or like.
Well, or if you've ever seen a bear that has mange,
they're terrifying.
They look terrifying. Like, if you like with fur, like, I want to snuggle them. With no fur,
straight from hell.
Like, I honestly have a hard time believing it's the same animal.
Okay, so this next one is from a cryptozoologist. His name is Don Davis. This was in the 1940s. He was on a Boy Scout trip near Payson, Arizona, and this is his account of the event. So the creature was huge. Its eyes were deep set and hard to see, but they seemed expressionless. His face seemed pretty much devoid of hair, but there seemed to be hair along the sides of his face. His chest, shoulders, and arms were massive, especially the upper arms, easily upwards of 6 inches in diameter, perhaps much, much more. I could see he was pretty hairy, but didn't observe really how thick the body hair was. The face and head, it was very square, with square sides and squared up the chin like a box. That's a new description. Like a square, yeah, head. I've never heard Bigfoot or anything described like that.
Yeah, that sounds like something totally different. And I couldn't find, I was looking to see if I could find the like average Bigfoot footprint size. And I can't find an average one. 22 inches seems like more than what, like when you see the pictures of them or whatever.
I mean, so like, I think this is a foot. I don't fucking know.
Roughly, yeah.
So, like, that's fucking huge.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, that is my upper fucking body. I'm only 5'5". Just seems really fucking big.
What size shoe does your husband wear? We should measure one of his shoes. Like, how big is your footprint?
14. I don't know how many inches that is, though. 14 inches?
I don't think so, but...
Okay, well, hold on. Let's Google it.
Yeah, right? Google is free.
We're really using Google right now. Like, a lot.
Close, but I don't know if it's exactly 14 inches. It should be. You would think that would be the simplest way to measure shoes.
It's exactly a foot. A 14 size shoe is exactly a foot.
Okay, so his two shoes, basically, like, toe to heel, would be 24 inches.
Oh, my gosh.
That's huge.
Especially, okay, well, 7 feet tall is also huge. I've never seen, so my husband's 6'3", so I'm just, like, imagining. It seems unproportioned, but he's also, like, a cryptid. It's also, like,
I think it wild. Is. I mean, it's. I think a 22-inch footprint for a 7-foot-tall creature would be disproportionate.
I think so. But I don't know. I've never seen it. I don't know. So there's the Fort Apache Indian Reservation is up in that area, and there have been numerous sightings on the actual Indian reservation.
Mm-hmm.
My God, my animals are scaring me right now. And that's the three main sightings of this one in Arizona. And I think from the two descriptions, it sounds to me like a really large bear on its hind legs. And the professor actually noted in one article I was reading that he doesn't think that it's possible that it's not a bear.
Interesting.
Well, because and one grizzlies thing are still like in that area. Go ahead.
With bear footprints. Is that sometimes bears will, like, their back paw will step into the footprint of their front paw, but it's, like, in the front of it, so you don't see both sets of claws, and it makes it look like a really big footprint.
Yeah.
So that would make sense for it being a bear, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, those are the three, Alabama, Alaska, and Arizona, that I'm going to do this week. If you have any suggestions... Like,
or if you've seen any of these creatures.
Yeah. I feel like Google would know before we do. But if you have video or...
No, I mean, sometimes people don't report it. Like, they might talk to other people about it, but they don't necessarily report it because, you know, either they think people won't believe them or they just don't want to be the person that saw the creature or whatever.
Well, if that's the case, we can keep it anonymous.
Absolutely. But we want to hear about it.
We do. Okay, before we start yours, I'm going to turn my light on because it's getting dark. Hold on.
Okay.
Did you buy your gaming system or whatever with your STEMI money?
You know, the two things didn't have anything to do with one another. I've talked myself into and out of my Switch since the beginning of the pandemic. And every time I talked myself into it, they would be sold out and I couldn't get one. And then I'd talk myself out of it again. And then they were my... Two of my best girlfriends in our little group chat always go to each other's islands. And they were on each other's island the other night. And I was like, that's it. I've had it. I'm tired of being left out of virtual island life.
Oh, my gosh. Is it fun?
I'm like, does Best Buy have one? Can I just go get it? And Best Buy had one and I could just go pick it up. So.
Perfect.
And it was so, I have to say, it was so much fun the other night. My friend Shyla. Like, shows up on my island, I kid you not, like, in a leprechaun hat and green sunglasses. Like, her little character is in, like, a leprechaun hat and green sunglasses and, like, this whole little leprechaun outfit. And she, like, appears on my island and just drops off, like, a million. The currency in Animal Crossing is bells. I did not know this until just recently. She drops off a million bells and a whole bunch of stuff. And then our other friend Kat's like, okay, I'm on my way to drop off stuff and plant trees and plant flowers on your island. I'm like,
so what this is
genuinely the most I've gotten to hang out with my friends in a year.
What's the premise of it? Like, what's the point of it?
It's a very chill game. Like, you just go through little, like you build your little house and you build other things and you have, you know, trees and flowers that you know, you can trade fruit, sell stuff, you can fish like you can on every RPG game ever invented.
Do you remember when Facebook, okay, so it was probably like 2009.
If you're about to say Farmville.
Farmville.
It's like Farmville on crack.
I was addicted to Farmville.
I loved Farmville, mostly because they had trees that would grow things like cotton candy. And seriously, the people who were doing like the graphic design on that were doing such a good job.
Oh my God, that was such a good game.
The cutest fucking trees.
Is it still a thing?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure you can still play it. You can still play Neopets.
Was it you that told me that on one of my Facebook statuses, or was it
entirely possible? Because I just recently found out that you can still play Neopets, and in fact, they will help you recover your account.
Okay, hold on. Let me just type that out so I can go to it as soon as we get off of here.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Oh.
But Animal Crossing is a lot of fun.
I might get it. I mean, I don't know. I have my hobbies that I really enjoy, and I don't even have time for those, so I should probably focus on that.
Part of me felt that way, and that's how I talked myself out of it a couple times, and then I was like, you know what? It's not, I don't have to play every day. I don't have to, but it's fun. It's like a thing that my whole little crew of friends, Kat and her wife both, and Shiloh plays, like,
that's fine. All right. So what are you talking about? The mystery. We're going to get to it.
Disappearing object phenomenon.
Ooh, God, fuck yeah.
So I have read so many of these on Facebook posts and stuff like that. And usually my brain is like, okay, but, you know, there's so many, you know, so many things that could have happened, whatever. And I've experienced it before, but never, always in a way that I can kind of explain it away. Like, okay, you know, I just didn't look in, I didn't look closely enough in that drawer, or I just didn't move the right thing on that table to find the thing I was looking for, whatever. But now I have experienced it in a way that I have zero explanation for. So I'm going to tell what happened to me, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about, like, there are two books that have been published. I mean, there's potentially more than two books, but there are two specific books that have been published on this. And one person, I will link his information, has read and reviewed both books. So I'm really using him as source information because he's already so very concisely summarized a lot of it. So here's what happened to me. My mom and I, a couple of weeks ago, were packing up some stuff in my living room and taping up boxes. And we had a roll of bright, like, neon green duct tape. And it just disappeared. Like, literally, like, we had taped a box. Neither of us had really even moved. And I reached for it to put another strip of tape, and it's just gone. And we looked all over my living room. I mean, we looked multiple places in my house, even though we both knew that neither one of us had really moved from, like, I don't know, like a 4 square foot area where we were doing this. And so we decided, you know what? It must be in the box. Like, we must have somehow, like, dropped it and it ended up inside the box before we taped it. So we'll just find another roll of tape. We'll probably find this the next time this box gets opened.
Yeah.
Then, so bad with timelines. The other night, it was like a couple of weeks after we had done this, I heard something fall, and I have a cat, so whatever, you know, I don't really think much about the sound of something falling in my house, because again, I live with a cat, but I realized that he's sitting right at my feet and he kind of jumped and I could see the dog and he wasn't moving. And I'm like, the hell was that? But again, I didn't really, I thought, oh, well, something probably just, you know, whatever, who knows? Something fell. I'll find it. So just a few minutes later, I get up to go get something to drink. And as I'm walking back through here, this roll of neon green duct tape is sitting in the doorway between my front bedroom and my living room.
What?
And it, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's exactly what I heard. Like, that's the right kind of object to make the sound I heard.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way. There's nowhere for it to have come from. The only two places that it could have been where it ended up where it was is on this, on the little like kind of buffet table type thing that's sitting like right in my, inside my front door.
Yeah.
And the bookshelf that's right across from it. We looked both of those places. You can't, anything sitting on my bookshelf is like immediately obvious.
Mm-hmm.
This neon green tape sitting anywhere, I mean, it's like day glow neon green.
Wow.
There's literally nowhere that it could have come from. I cannot explain it.
No, like, that's insane.
And every time I've read these and people are like, it's like it came out of another dimension. I'm like, okay, but did it? And now I'm like, okay, but did it? Like, what else happened? I just can't.
That's exactly what happened.
I cannot come up with a single logical explanation as to how that tape ended up just in the middle of the floor.
Unless your ghost man did it, but I don't even think that.
I mean,
because where would he have hid it?
Right. I mean, let's say that's what's happening. Still, like, where did it go while it was gone? I'm just 100% like,
yeah.
I just stood there and looked at it for a minute because I was like.
So there are other cases like this?
So many. So first, the two books are, the first one is called Jot, J-O-T-T, which I will get to what that means. Jot, When Things Disappear and Come Back or Relocate and Why It Really Happens by Mary Rose Barrington. And the second one is Disappearing Object Phenomenon, An Investigation by Tony Jinks. And both
you also
of these,
send me those like so I can reference.
I'm going to send you the link to this reviewers.
Mm-hmm.
I really am not 100% sure what his site is.
Okay.
Let me do that real quick. But I found the first one of his and then he noted that he had reviewed the other book as well. And I was like, well, that's very convenient of you, sir.
Very.
Robert Charman is his name. And he really has done a very concise job of kind of summarizing a little bit of this and then discussing it. Nice. And these, his reviews, the review of the first one was written in November of 2018. And the second one was written in December of 2018. So he kind of got into the subject a little.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read some of what he's written, and then I'm also going to read some of his summaries. So just everybody know this is coming directly from Robert Charman. Want to make sure he gets all the credit because he's, like I said, he's done a really good job here.
Yeah.
So the first one that's written by Mary Rose Barrington, he says, the author is a retired lawyer who, as a distinguished SPR council member with a lifelong interest in physical research, has applied her legal mind to investigating claims of objects that have disappeared and returned or not returned or have appeared for the first time for which there appears to be no normal explanation, such as memory lapse, absent-mindedness, inadequate searching, third-party trickery, deliberate deception, and so on. For such a claim to be accepted, there has to be sufficient explanation of the circumstances, including neutral observers where possible, to eliminate overlooked error. In everyday life, such baffling experiences for which there seem to be no rational explanation tend to be dismissed in equally baffled exasperation, just as just one of those things. J-O-T-T.
Oh, my goodness.
So she has, Barrington has over 180 cases of this on file, and she has them grouped into similarity of occurrence. She has six categories. Mm-hmm. One is called is walkabout, which is when something disappears from point A to reappear at point B. Turnup, known at a known item appearing from an originally, no, wait, sorry.
Okay.
A known article from an originally uncertain position just appears somewhere else. So something you recognize just appears somewhere that you, like, you might not know where it disappeared mm-hmm. from. It just suddenly appears somewhere that it wasn't before. Hmm. Comeback, which is article disappears from its usual place and then returns to its usual place. Flyaway, an article permanently disappears without a trace. Windfall, an article that appears from an unknown origin. Are these other people's flyaways? Being found where it couldn't have been present before being found. Mm-hmm. And trade-in, a personally known article that disappears and is replaced by a similar article of unknown origin.
Mm.
So he has summarized a few of these examples, and I'm going to read a couple of them, of the summaries from both of these books.
Okay.
Because they're just so interesting. Late one evening, Mrs. P was tidying the kitchen while her husband was taking the dogs for a walk. She took the square orange washing up basin out of the sink and put it on the worktop. After she had finished other chores, she turned to put it back in the sink, but it had disappeared. On his return, they both searched the kitchen for it without success. She went to bed feeling, as she said, quote, a wee bit scared. Unable to find it, she bought a new red basin. A week later, she decided to use her rarely used pressure cooker, which was in a rarely opened ground level cupboard, blocked by the leg of the kitchen table. She moved the table, got the pressure cooker out, and there, behind it, wedged so tightly into the back space that they had difficulty in getting it out, was the orange basin, still containing some dirty water and a teaspoon.
Wow!
That one is a walkabout, because it disappeared from one place where she knew where it was and reappeared in a completely different place.
So we have these names for these instances, but do we know why they're happening?
Short answer, I don't think, no. I mean, one of the theories is multiverse.
Okay.
That
okay.
basically, like, you know, when the idea that there are parallel, just
like when they cross
parallel yeah. universes, right, where they kind of bump into each other and little things change.
Hmm. I've heard that's why when you walk into a room and you immediately forget what you went into that room for, it's because your universes are crossing.
I have to say, I really can't think too hard about that because it freaks me out a little. Part of it doesn't, because I'm like, I mean, whatever, like, what difference does it make which version of me is in which universe? But then somewhat I'm like, what else changed?
Like, yeah. It's really scary to think about.
It is. It's kind of, I mean, I don't know if it's disconcerting. Let's see. This one's an example of a trade-in. Mm-hmm. It says Mrs. L was in the kitchen with her mother and her very young daughter, who was in her low chair resting on the floor. She took off her four rings and placed them on the worktop as usual before putting on rubber gloves to do dishes. After an hour, during which both she and her mother had often bent down to talk to the daughter, she went to put her rings back on, but could find only three. The missing one being a gold single stone dress ring. They searched the kitchen without success until her mother, who had seen the four rings on the worktop, suddenly saw a glint and said, "Is that it by the baby's chair?" It was an unrecognized gold ring with a setting for three stones that were all missing. Despite further searches, they never found the ring that went missing and had no explanation for the stoneless gold ring.
That is wild.
I know.
Has anything like this, well, besides the what you told us at the beginning of your story, but like, has anything else like this happened to you before?
Like I said, yeah, but nothing that I couldn't explain away.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I've looked for things that like, I know where I put it.
Yeah.
And looked for it where I knew that it was and couldn't find it and then found it there sometime later. But it's always a, like where I can go, okay, but I mean.
We own cats.
It must, yeah, first of all, I live with a cat. But also like, you know, like it's usually in some, like in a drawer or in a box or, you know, something like that. Yeah. But I can go, okay, obviously I was just flustered in a hurry and I just overlooked it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I was like sitting here like racking my brain while you were telling that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really think of anything except for this one time. And I chalk this up to a ghost encounter, but now that like you're explaining all these different types of situations. So I was home alone and I was going to make some cereal and I put a bowl on the counter and then I walked out of the room to get something and I came back and the bowl was in the cupboard. Like, to me, that was weird because I took the bowl out and I put it on the counter.
I mean, it definitely, it's for sure weird, a weird occurrence kind of situation. Okay, the second book that is written by Tony Jinks. So he is a senior lecturer in psychology at Western Sydney University and a consultant to the Australian Journal of Parapsychology. He's investigated 385 personal accounts of small objects that have unexpectedly disappeared, reappeared, appeared for the first time, or been replaced by a similar object. He uses the same categorization terms. He uses Barrington's categories as well. This is an example from 2008. Kate drove home after work to her small suburban house situated on a quiet residential street. With her car key on the same ring as all her other keys, she selected her front door key and opened the door at the same moment that her telephone rang. She was expecting a call, so she dropped her bag to run down the hall and answer the phone. After the call, she went back to take the ring of keys out of the door, lock up, and pick up her bag. The bag was there with all the contents intact, but the ring of keys was not there. She searched and searched in vain, eventually concluding that someone must have come onto the porch, snatched the keys, although the street was empty and there seemed to be no one about. Unable to find them, she had to replace her car key and change all of her locks, her back door, her front door, her garage, her mailbox, and get a new key for her office.
Mm.
Within the year, she moved to a new job in another city and bought and thoroughly renovated an apartment close to the city center. One evening, she returned home, placed her new set of keys in the hallway drawer as usual, and then went into her bedroom only to see her old set of keys on the same ring on her pillow.
That's, I don't really have words for that.
I mean,
I would shit a brick.
Can you imagine? She described to the author that she felt nervous and giddy with shock because she knew that no one could have entered her apartment.
Yeah.
So how
do you explain that? To me, it's just, it has to be like alternate universes.
That's kind of my, that's kind of what I think.
Yeah.
And he goes through a bunch, like just in those links that I sent you, he goes through a lot of the examples and kind of summarizes them.
Mm-hmm.
And really kind of comes to the conclusion that, well, I'll just read this. He says, for skeptics, and I'm still struggling, Barrington's 185 cases and Jinks 385 cases add up to 570 anomalous experiences that require an explanation. Why? Because none of the usual explanations can adequately account for what these experience said happened to them when they were apparently in the same ordinary everyday state of mind as that of the reader. Sir, you're expecting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He says this phenomenon, including the 52% prevalence indication, requires much more research. And I do recommend both Barrington's book and this book because together they provide a treasure trove of these experiences. And then he goes on to say, P.S. I don't know what to think of this. As of yesterday, Friday, November 30th, the detail is important. I had never had an ESP experience before and have assumed that I am as psychic as a brick. Apart from coming down to the kitchen for a mid-morning mug of coffee, I had spent the morning in my upstairs study working on this book review. At 1 p.m., I decided to make a toasted cheese sandwich and, as usual, opened a kitchen drawer to take out my old-fashioned and indispensable 11-inch-long butter knife with its broad blade plus a shorter serrated knife for the cheese. I ate the sandwich, delicious, thank you, and drank my mug of tea while standing at the kitchen window looking at the garden. I rinsed my plate and both knives under the hot tap and put both knives back into the kitchen drawer. I went out in the afternoon. About 6:30 p.m., decided to do some roast potatoes with my dinner. I opened the knife drawer for the butter knife to take the beef dripping out of the jar, but although the serrated blade knife was there, the butter knife was not. While the potatoes were roasting, I did another thorough search of the kitchen. Eventually had to use a spoon. My medium-sized oval dining table was, as usual, almost bare, having a newspaper on one leaf, an iPad on another, and a box of tissues on a placemat in the middle. All I added was my knife, fork, salt and pepper, and dinner plate. While eating my dinner, seated at the middle of the table, my iPad was about 18 inches to my left with nothing in between until I reached across to pull the tissue box towards me. After my meal, I cleared the table, moved the tissue box and the mat back together again. During a 9 p.m. commercial TV break, I made a mug of tea. On my way back to the chair past the table, I picked up the tissue box and at the same moment saw my butter knife roughly in the space that had been occupied by the tissue box during my meal. Before these two reviews, I would have just wondered how the hell it had got there and how I could possibly have missed seeing it when it was so obvious. Now I'm wondering.
Oh my gosh.
And I kind of think this is one of those things that once you're aware of it, mm-hmm. you're more likely to make a note of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. Because now I feel like I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I put it somewhere. Like, I put it somewhere thinking I was putting it in the right place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I can't find it. So obviously my brain was a different person when I knew where it was supposed to go than it is now that I'm looking for it. I mean, I found something the other day, my little, the little like hand sanitizer leash thingy, like keychain thingies from Body Works.
Yeah.
I have a mermaid one and I had my little bottle of hand sanitizer had run out. So I took it off my purse and I put it away. Mm-hmm. Could not tell you where I put it, but I remember specifically putting it away.
Yeah.
When I tell you that once I got a new bottle, I looked everywhere I could think to look. I randomly found it in the top drawer of this vanity in the very back in a makeup bag.
What in the world?
I mean, and this is one of those things that I'm like, is this a jot? Or did at the time that I put it there, did that make sense to be the place to put it? I don't know. I can't be 100% sure, but it wasn't, I didn't even think to look here for it. I looked in other bags, like where I keep my bags. Mm-hmm. I looked inside other bags because I thought, oh, I probably just put it with my purses. I looked so many places, but like in the very back of this top drawer inside a makeup bag. No. I don't know why I would have decided to put it there. Not saying I didn't. It's not the tape. The tape situation is.
That is, there's no explanation for that. There's none.
No.
This makes me think that I'm going to be hyper aware of this now.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean,
maybe I won't misplace so much because I misplace a lot.
I do too. And that's why I think when it, I mean, when you said like, has this happened before? Like, I mean, not in a way that is so definite. Mm-hmm. This bright-ass green tape just appearing in the middle of my floor. Mm-hmm. Especially because I heard it hit the floor.
Yeah. Like, where the fuck would it have been dropped from? That's the thing. Like, out of a
and portal? And I didn't see it fall. I mean, it was within my eye line. Like, if it had just fallen off of something, I don't know how I wouldn't have seen the movement.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it. I just heard it. And then there's the damn tape in the middle of the floor. I don't. Like, I'm always, I mean, I pretty much will believe in anything. Like, if you can't come up with, if you can't prove to me that it couldn't possibly have happened, mm-hmm. then there's at least part of me is going to be like, okay, I mean, why not? Maybe that did happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm always looking for the logical explanation.
Right.
First. Before I'm just like, well, that obviously fell from a different universe.
There's like, your explanation.
But I looked at this table. I looked on this table. Oh, and I left out the part that table is where my purse and my keys get picked up from and put down on. There is no way that an entire roll of bright green duct tape could have been sitting there for 2 weeks and I never saw it.
Yeah.
If it had just appeared on that table, I would have been like, that's fucking weird. But it wouldn't have been like, this is impossible. It just would have been weird.
Yeah.
The fact that it just appeared in the middle of the damn floor and I heard it hit the floor, I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing.
I think it's a jot.
I think it has. I mean, it definitely is.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It is weird. I love that you did that topic.
It was legitimately one of the weirdest things that has ever happened to me in my entire life. Because I just can't, like,
were you stoned?
No.
Man.
Not at all.
Good
and
for
I
you.
Called my mom. I'm like, what the fuck?
What'd she say?
She's like, she said the same. She did the exact same thing you and I did. Like, well, is there somewhere? She's like, could it have been on that table? I'm like, how? We looked there, and that's where, oh, shoot. We may need to do outro. My computer's about to die.
Oh, no. Okay, well, let me do it really quick. Thank you so much for the continued support. Please find and follow us at Wild and Woke Pod on Instagram and Twitter. We have a Facebook page at facebook.com/wildandwokepodcast. If you're looking for bonus content, early episode releases, and free merch, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/wildandwokepodcast. If you have any weird, creepy, or wow, I can't believe this fucking happened moments, please reach out because we want to hear them. Our email is wildandwokepodcast@gmail.com.
Remember, all stories start somewhere. Be wild, stay woke, and question everything, especially neon green duct tape.